Welcome to the Life Through the Lens with Stan podcast.
And welcome to Life Through the Lens with Stan. Wow. In front of a live studio audience. No, I'm only kidding. Let's get into another episode. So thank you very much for tuning in. Again, I'm getting amazing feedback on the episodes I've done so far and people just enjoying this podcast. So thank you. And if you could be so kind to give us a follow on whatever platform you're listening to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to leave a 5-star rating or whatever rating you want to give me as well. That really helps out. It's a hot one in Adelaide this week. I'm not happy. I despise hot weather. It never used to bother me. It really does now. Plus 30 for an entire week. And seeing that forecast when it's updated at around about 4 o'clock each day, it's just revolting in my eyes. I watch the news at night, and this is an absolute bugbear of mine. My family know that, when I watch the news and the weather comes up, in winter they talk about, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have some warmth? Then in summer they say, and I quote, "We are so desperate for rain and a cool change just to get a bit of a cool breeze through our city of Adelaide." Like, what the fuck? You know, that's the epitome of contradiction right there. It drives me absolutely insane. I'm not a hater of the media. I know in the previous podcast I've sort of had a few digs and everything else, but I'm not. I really, I just find them very shallow though. They just tell us about, just tell us about the forecast and move on. It's not going to be right anyway. The weather forecasts are never right. BOM is always stuffing it up. And I mean, in this modern day, you would think with the technology and everything else, they would be able to sort of work it out, but they are so far off. I sometimes look at forecasts for, say it's a Tuesday during the week, and I'm looking at the forecast for Saturday to make plans. I mean, that's what a forecast is for. And they can be sometimes 7 degrees out. And it amazes me. If I was that bad at my job and kept making mistakes at that level, I wouldn't have a job. But they just seem to be able to get away with it. But don't get me started on BOM. I always remember my dad saying to me, he was a data cabler in the Northern Territory, installation of network cabling and everything else. Had a very good business, and he told me he did a job for BOM many years ago. And he was in their office, and he's a real smart ass. I know where I get that from. And he told them that he was surprised they had equipment and computers and needed data cabling installed, as he just figured that they had a couple of chairs, maybe a table, and a dartboard, because that's how they deliver the forecasts. Very funny. But I lived in Darwin, and being a weather forecaster up there would be the easiest job in the world. I remember watching the news up there, and I'd just switch off when the weather was on. There was absolutely no point. It'd be dry season, 33, 33, 33, 33. And in the wet season, 33 with a possible afternoon storm, 33 with a possible afternoon storm, etc. You get the point. But yeah, Darwin, I lived up there on and off several times, and I always consider it a second home city. I'd always travel up there when I was a kid by myself as an unaccompanied minor. So it's a 3.5-hour flight from Adelaide. So that's not a small feat for a 7-year-old. I think that's when I started doing it. It has a funny pull to me though, the city of Darwin. I'll miss it after a certain amount of time. Would I live up there again? Probably not. But I would love to get up there more, every year really. I don't know, but it's expensive. The cost of flights to go to Darwin are pretty hefty, and also their flight times, because the Darwin Airport it shares it with a RAF base, which is cool because you get to see a lot of fighter jets take off and everything else. But I think it really sort of screws around with when flights can come in and out of Darwin, and the Adelaide flight seems to be notorious for having really bad sort of timing. You get up there sometimes at midnight, 2 a.m., whatever. And then that first night that you're there, it's pretty screwy because you've got to get accommodation and check in probably at the Darwin Airport sort of resort or something like that, just to get that first night out of the way, which, you know, is costly. As I mentioned, my dad lives up there, albeit not in the same location anymore. He's a man who loves nature, and he actually lives remote, so he's a fair way out. But anyway, back to Darwin. The last time I went up there was about 18 months ago. I took my wife, Kaz, up there for the first time. And a lot's changed. The roads have changed. The roads are actually amazing up there and actually make Adelaide's look laughable. I can confirm that Darwin locals do clap their sunsets every night. I know that it's seen and probably heard by a lot of people that happens. It does. I can guarantee it does. I even showed my wife when we were up there. We were at the Mindle Beach Markets, which are quite well known in Australia if you're talking about the Northern Territory or Darwin. We were sitting on the beach having something to eat, and all of a sudden, you know, the sunset was finishing up, and a round of applause by probably well over 100 people on the beach. It's quite funny. But I understand it. Their sunsets are absolutely incredible and on tap there. Like, every night is just an awesome sunset. The atmosphere is always relaxed. It's hard to explain. I forgive the heat up there, I guess, because everywhere is air conditioned, so you know that you can escape the heat pretty easy. And I don't mind that feel of going from like a hot sort of muggy condition straight into the really like icy cold shopping center air conditioning or whatever. I don't know what it is. It sort of just has that refreshing feel that I don't. Yeah, it's hard to explain. But yeah, it's the laid back ice. It's a laid back lifestyle that I fall in love with up there. The wet season or monsoon also gets me. Being a lover of moody photography, the storms are insanely moody. Not that I've shot up there in the wet yet. As you know, I started photography only in recent years, and I haven't seen a monsoon up there since 2007. So it was quite a while ago. That's actually quite sad. But the storms are just so powerful. Yes, I have been very close to a lightning bolt. Sit back and let me tell you a story about that. In 2006, my dad and I were sitting out in his alfresco area. He had an absolutely stunning house when he lived in Darwin, with a pool like most people have got up there, and a beautiful sort of pergola area that was covered, but it was he had a TV, he had like the beer fridges out there. I mean, it was as Darwin as you can get. It was so cool. My dad and I were sitting out in this alfresco area, and we love sitting down and having a beer and watching the storm that would come through like clockwork in the afternoon after work. But this particular storm was so intense, and there was just lightning strikes all over us, and just big powerful clouds, like torrential rain. It was so cool. And the best thing about it is you just sit there in a t-shirt and shorts and your thongs on, and it's still warm but sort of refreshing as you're getting that sort of nice breeze coming through. But then my dad and I had this really unusual feeling, although I look back at it now and it was in slow motion because I can recount it all like slower than what actually happened, but it happened in a matter of seconds. We felt this static sort of feeling underneath our feet, and my dad said, "Watch out," and then bang, it was the light pole on the street behind us, because we could see it because the house behind us was under construction. And one thing about Darwin is you've got cyclone fencing everywhere. It's not like the fencing that you normally would have, you know, the neighborhood friendly fencing or whatever. It's cyclone fencing. So you can sort of see through people's backyards in a way, but they're usually heavily vegetated with palm trees and that. But anyway, so the biggest flash, the street light had been zapped. It was the brightest flash and the loudest fucking sound I've still to this day ever heard. And the raw power of Mother Nature, just in full force. But the static was the bit that got me. My dad obviously
living up there for since 1989, I think. He's been through, you know, ones that have been really, really close. But that static electricity, and then it all just happened so quickly. But that was something else. That was something else. Some of the storms up there, I've had to pull over and just wait to pass as the wipers on my car couldn't keep up. I remember when I was working for my dad, I was in between going between job sites, and the rain was so severe, I just couldn't see, and I was quite frightened. And I pulled over and I rang my dad and said, "Dad, I can't see." And he goes, "Nah, just sit this one out." They're amazing. I guess another funny occasion with storms, I was helping my cousin that coincidentally had just moved up to Darwin from Adelaide, and I was moving furniture to their unit with them. It was a sunny morning and I had the day off, and then the clouds started rolling in, and in the space of 20 minutes or so, it went from sun to the darkest skies and absolutely, again, torrential rain. I was moving my dad's trailer that we borrowed back up into the front lawn, and I lost my freaking thong down the stormwater drain in the process. The water was just streaming down the street. It was so weird. And then 20 minutes later, sunshine again. It was just amazing. I mean, I've heard rain on neighbors' roofs, their tin roofs, maybe 3, 4, 5 doors down, and yet it'll be sunshining at our place. It was just weird, but that's Darwin for you. I'd love to go up there and shoot a monsoon and do some, photography up there. I did a vlog during my most recent trip, and that was just after I purchased the A7 III. And I did some basic photography. I was more sort of concentrating on the video. But I'd definitely love to hit the storms up there and get some nice sunset photography. As I said, you're on. It's every night on tap. It really is. Have I shot storms down here in Adelaide? Yes, I actually got my first lightning shot down here last year by accident. It was just before Christmas or just after Christmas. I'm just trying to think. It was just after Christmas, that's right. And I was sort of a bit of cabin fever. I was on holidays. I was at home. I don't think I did much during the day. And then I just said towards golden hour, I just said to my wife, I said, I'm going down to Brighton Beach. There was no real forecast or anything I knew of a storm happening. And anyway, I took Jazzy and we went down to the beach. Just thought I'd just get some jetty shots, a bit of a sunset thing. And then I noticed all these sort of moody clouds sort of rolling in and could see some flashes of lightning. I thought, oh, hello. But I wasn't prepped for doing lightning photography. I haven't really looked into the schematics and everything you need for it. You know, do you need extra equipment and everything else? Because lightning's such a random instance. Anyway, it was just popping off shots every few seconds and managed to capture one, which I was really proud of, which is up on my Instagram. I think I released it about a month or so ago. So, yeah, really cool. That's a little bit more about me. As I said, just sort of peeling back the layers. Lived in Darwin in 2002, just after I finished high school, for around about 12 months. Went back up there in 2004 for a job opportunity, was up there for another 12 months, went back up there in 2006, and I was there for a good 12 months. So 3 separate times. It's a bit of a strange one for me, but now I'm well and truly settled in Adelaide life. But it's a big part of me, and in some ways Darwin's certainly sort of shaped who I am. There's a lot there, a lot of history there and everything else. So I might on a separate episode talk about the Northern Territory and I've actually another unique side of me, and I will do this in a separate episode because we're sort of getting towards our time limit here. But I've done the Stuart Highway around about 8 times. I'd have to go back and work out the exact number, but it is 7 or 8. So I've driven with my dad 7 or 8 times up the Stuart Highway, and there's plenty of adventures and stories there, including I guess a very, very interesting one about running out of fuel in the middle of the desert. And that's an interesting story in itself. But I highly recommend anyone that is adventurous and wants to explore Australia, the Stuart Highway. To do that in your lifetime, it's amazing. And you can see true Australia from doing it. I want to do it one more time in my life. I mean, that's it. I think I've done it most than the average person, apart from truckies, obviously. Yeah, one more time now that I'm a bit more life experience and a bit more respect. Not respect, a bit more awareness. I sort of took it in my stride doing all those trips. It was just a means of getting from Adelaide and moving up to Darwin or coming back down here and that sort of stuff. So 3,200 kilometres and, yeah, probably 3 days worth of driving. I don't think I've done it any shorter than that. But that's for a future episode, guys. As I said, it tied a bit of photography in there, just subtly. I love telling a story, and that's a big part of my life. As I said, Darwin. I will see you next. Well, I did it again. It's so vloggy of me. I will talk to you soon. You will hear from me next time, next week, Mondays. Brand new episode every Monday. If things work out well, you might get a bonus in there here and now. Talk soon, guys. Take care. Bye.